Well, it's always difficult being a visiting preacher to choose a passage. So I said to Mike, Christianity Explored, we do Mark's Gospel. We're going through Mark's Gospel at the moment, so okay. And then we're just thinking about Philippians. But the more I kind of thought, well, what am I going to preach on? I thought this morning I would choose a text where God has blessed me and at the same time challenged me over the past 12 months. And something that I've kind of been doing a bit of work on. So I thought this morning, if God has been blessing and challenging me in this area, then I thought that I would bring that this morning. So, okay. Well, it's 10 weeks to go. 10 weeks to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Christmas. Yes. Are you ready for Christmas? Is all your shopping done? Well, my wife does all the shopping for the family and the children, and I buy hers on the 24th of December. I don't know if that's like you. I'm never ready for Christmas. I'm always lastminute.com me, even when it comes to my sermon preparation. Lastminute.com. I was doing it Saturday morning before I came out of the house. But what I want us to think about this morning, do you know anyone who prepares for Christmas straight after we've just had it? Because there are people out there who do it. They go buying presents for the Christmas straight after that Christmas. Any of you out there this morning? And what they're doing is buying the bargains in the January sale. Doing that Christmas preparation 11 months before Christmas is going to be coming. Okay, so kind of I think these are the wise ones amongst us, if that's you this morning. But this is the concept, really. It's very similar to what is in the passage this morning. Okay, so this is the concept we're going to be looking at this morning. Being ready now for a future event that is going to be coming. Being ready now for a future event that is going to be coming. Really, being ready for Christmas today. So that's the kind of concept we're going to be looking at. So that's the thrust, really. If we wanted the kind of thrust of this passage, it's preparing now for something, a future event, even if it's not your thing, so that you are ready for when the event comes. And this passage this morning, the event that we're going to be looking at and thinking about, is probably the greatest event that this planet, this universe, will ever see. And it's what is called the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first time Jesus came, he came to give his life. He came to die for sinners. He came for sinners to reconcile sinners back to God. That was his first coming. The second coming is to bring about the judgment and wrap up this age and then usher in the new heavens and the new earth. So you're not going to get an event bigger than this event that is coming. Okay, so this morning, if you've got a spiritual MOT coming this morning, if I was to kind of lift up your bonnet this morning and have a look underneath what's going on, I wonder what I would find this morning as God's people. Would I find a people ready and prepared for this great event? Ready to meet your Lord and ready to give an account of your life. Well, if you're anything like me, we're probably struggling in that area. And that's okay, because if you're not ready this morning, that's why these verses are here. That's why the Word of God is there, because it's always shaping us, always molding us, and always speaking into our lives. So if you're not ready this morning, that's why these verses are here, because they're here to get us ready, to prepare us for this event. Really, to wake us up. These verses are to wake us up to the days that we are living in. To give us discernment of the signs of the times and the things that are going on around us. And for us as Christians, not to be blind, not to be asleep, not to be ignorant of the things that Jesus is talking about. Okay, so what Jesus does to prepare us and wake us up, keep us on our toes, he uses an historical event in history That has already happened. And a historical event in history, you see what I'm saying? Historical. A lot of archaeologists took hold of the days of Noah and the Great Flood. I'm sure they would find a lot of answers to the answers that they're looking for, because it was a real event in history. And Jesus is talking about it as a real event. And it's quite difficult, because what we're doing is we're dropping in, if you're trying to parachute in, we parachuted into the middle of Matthew. And I'm glad that Paul is going to be looking at Mark again with you. Is it next week, Paul? 2 weeks' time. I'm glad that Paul is still going to be picking up, because really, I'm parachuting into the middle here, and there's so much more in this passage, and I'm just kind of cherry-picking a little bit out of it. And the thing that has kind of sprung up these kind of the days of Noah and what Jesus is talking about is really is found in verse 3 of Matthew 24. And this is what it says. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? So they've asked the question, what will be the signs of your coming? And here in these verses, Jesus is telling them what them signs will be. He's answering that specific question for the disciples. And the way that Jesus answers here is from verse 36 on, he uses the days of Noah. And this is what it says. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up until Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came, took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Okay. Should kind of put the hairs up on the back of your neck when you start to read verses like this. I don't know if it does it for you, but it does it for me. Because before Christ returns, the days will be like the days of Noah. And what Jesus is doing here, if I had a mirror, okay, and lifted it up, it's like a reflection. He's saying the start of the age was like this. Now, you've got some reading to do in your own time here. Genesis chapter 6, go and read it. The days of Noah. What was going on? So Jesus holds up this mirror. He says, as it was in the beginning, so it will be at the end. Wow. As it was in the beginning, so it will be at the end. And he's holding up a mirror reflection for us. So why is he using the days of Noah and this reflection of what's going to happen at the end? Well, the first point for me that stands out of this passage is this. People in the days of Noah were not preparing for the catastrophe that was about to come upon them. People were not preparing for the catastrophe of the flood that was about to come upon them. And you know, if you wanted to go to one of the most evil places in the Bible, Genesis chapter 6 is one of the places that you would go to find how evil things had become and the heart of man had become and what it was like. And when Jesus pulls out these times that it will be like this at the end, it is quite shocking. And what's shocking about these verses here in Noah's day is verse 39. This is really key to understanding what Jesus is getting at here. And verse 39 says this: they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. They knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. God's judgment came upon the people at that time, and nobody survived apart from 8 people. Now that should make us sit up to attention and go, they knew nothing about what would happen, only 8 people survived. Why is that? Why did 8 people only survive? Isn't it interesting? Imagine kind of present day. Imagine taking a poll on the streets, kind of trying to find out where people are. What do you think about biblical concepts of the end and Jesus coming back and all that stuff? I wonder what it would look like would it be a reflection, kind of, I'm trying to get you into this, are we coming to the end or not? What would you kind of reflection would you get? Imagine just going on the streets in Southampton where you live, asking people these questions. I think we would find probably a people who are biblically illiterate, people who know nothing about what is coming, kind of reflecting probably them days that Jesus is talking about here. So the question I'm asking here this morning, and for us to ask of this text, why didn't they prepare with Noah? Why did millions die and only eight survive? Why weren't they preparing? What's the problem going on here? Well, it could be through ignorance, but Noah was building the biggest boat anybody had ever seen at that time. So they got this whacking great boat that's being built in front of them, and it's been built for 100 years. So there's no excuse saying, I'm not ignorant to actually, why is this man building a boat here? Obviously, there's going to be water coming. So it couldn't have been through ignorance. Maybe it could have been the protracted length of time because it was 100 years, thinking, well, you know, we've gone 50 years and the water's not going to come. But the Bible says in Peter, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They would have been hearing plenty of sermons, sitting down every Sunday, hearing about God, hearing about what's going to be coming. Noah would have been a preacher of righteousness, telling them to repent, that the judgment is coming. So they would have heard plenty of sermons. So I'm not sure that it was that. And you know something? It could have been plain unbelief. I just don't believe it, that this is going to happen. However, in the text here, it tells us why nobody knew about what was going to come upon them. It tells us in the text what the problem was. And this is the second point that stands out for me. The problem was their priorities, was their downfall. They had their priorities wrong. Verse 38 says this, people were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, up until Noah entered the ark. Wow. That is the issue. That's why they didn't get it. Their priorities were eating, drinking, giving in marriage. They were steeped in the here and now. Only this life counts. Just live for now. Live for this time. Forget about what Noah's saying. Forget about these Christians who tell you that Jesus is going to be coming back. Forget about a day of judgment. We'd rather watch movies on Judge Dredd and all of that stuff that we're doing. Our culture, totally alien to it. And yet these people were steeped in the here and now at that time. They were, you know, they weren't living their life for that flood that was going to be coming. They weren't preparing for that future flood. They were just interested in their own lives, and that's all that mattered. For me, I don't know, kind of shared a little bit yesterday, I was in the building trade. And you know where my eyes always were? If anyone can get it, where was my eyes always kind of looking to? The weather. I was always working outside. So my eyes were always looking out, you know, is it going to rain today? If it's going to rain today, I can't be working outside. So that's where my eyes were always taken to, because the weather affected everything. It affected everything that I did. And when we come to the Bible, what God is telling us should affect everything about our lives. And in the days of Noah, what Noah was doing, what Noah was preaching, should have affected the way that they were living, but it didn't. And it was all about them, all about their lives. Sadly, their eyes were just on the present situation. A coming flood probably seemed impossible, that it wasn't going to happen. They didn't want to face up to the reality that this was coming. And they probably thought that Noah was a big crank, an idiot, a fool. And yet, it was proved that he wasn't. So this morning, I just want us to think about, what are the lessons for us in this Noah account? What is it that we can take away from it this morning? Because millions of people back then knew nothing about what was about to come upon them. The first thing I want to ask this morning is, what is your priority this morning? Is it eating, drinking, giving in marriage, my house, my car, my job, and yet not looking to this future event where Jesus Christ is coming back to end this age and to bring about the great judgment. What's your priorities this morning? Is being ready to meet Jesus on that priority list? If you had a scale of 1 to 10, where would you mark yourself this morning, being honest? Are you living just for the here and now? Where are we on that scale? Do you cherish salvation and your eternal salvation this morning that is found in Christ Jesus? Or do we look more like the world around us, the culture that we live in? That's just to be an honest assessment of ourselves, because we've got to be honest, the days we live in have a profound influence upon us as Christians, because we will fall into the trap of heating living and giving in marriage. And I'm not saying them things, you know, them things in themselves are good to do that, but without the healthy view of the coming reality of Jesus and giving account of your life, will be like the people of the days of Noah. You're just missing the mark. But these things, you know, are good in themselves. But when God comes out of the picture, they become idolatrous. They become idolatrous. And that's what the Bible tells us. Without God being first and foremost, and the important thing is what He is saying, what He is doing in history, then we step down a level and we put ourselves above God, which is idolatrous. And which is why Jesus in Mark chapter 8, really when He calls His disciples, the first thing that when He calls them, He says this: whoever wants to save his life will lose it. It's the whole point of being a Christian. You lose this life. I don't live for myself anymore. Jesus is coming back. Everything is about the gospel. This life is going to go. You know, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But Jesus says, whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. We die to this world. We die to this life. And Jesus becomes our priority. And look into His coming. So it can have a profound influence on us. And really this morning, I want to encourage you to get yourself into Mark chapter 24. And I know Paul will probably pick up on it in Mark chapter 13. I want to encourage you this morning to be discerning about what is going on around us, looking at our culture, looking at the way that people are living. Have that discernment. Otherwise, we will get caught up in our culture and what they're saying. And the culture, when you look at it, is looking very much like the days of Noah. It's quite interesting that, you know, our culture isn't interested, and it won't be kind of thinking about. And this is something that I started to think about, and this is where God started to challenge me. And I never thought that I would think this. Could we be the generation that sees the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not saying we are, but I want to put that out there. And that's why I feel I've been changed. Could we be that generation that sees the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Because as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of our Lord Jesus. You know, and the more I've looked into it, it started about 2 years ago. My wife asked me, she said, "What's a tribulation?" I was like, "I don't know. What is a tribulation?" Because we were watching someone on television, he's preaching from Matthew 24. And then I started to look into it. And then I started to look into, there's something about a great tribulation. And that this great, and all this stuff. So I was reading Matthew chapter 24. Then I started to read Daniel. Then I started to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Then I started to read Revelation. But what I want to encourage you this morning is, start reading into it. It's not hard. Have a look into it. Because my perception and view has changed of things. And, you know, I still struggle working through, could we be that generation? Could we be the ones that see the second coming? But really, out of my own personal conviction, this is just me sharing with you this morning, I believe we are mirroring the days of Noah. I believe that we're coming up to them days. I hope you've only got to look around you. We are a generation that are living without reference to God. Go out there and start to try to preach that gospel. Try and start winning people for souls. And you will see where we are as a nation So I say, do that poll. You'd find out we're so far away from God. We've gone so far, it's absolutely mind-boggling. So I think we are living without reference to God, because it says their hearts were continually evil, didn't it, in Genesis chapter 6. They'd gone away from God, and their hearts were on continually evil. Matthew 24, which probably Paul will pick up a little bit more in 13, talks about the birth pains, wars, rumors of wars, all these things, nations rising against nations. Jesus says all these things must come to pass. He says they are the beginning of the birth pains. Wow. Look at what's been happening over the last 10, 20, 30 years. You start to look at the news, look at the television, and it's like, are these contractions getting more? Floods. You know, all these things Jesus said, all these are going to work up. These are the signs we should be discerning. And it's going to give birth to what Jesus calls the Great Tribulation. So I think, you know, the contractions are there. You can see these signs, what Jesus is saying. And I think I can recognize them. And God has been opening my eyes to them. But the shock, kind of bringing you back to the text, that's just my own personal thing. The shock in Noah's days, like I said earlier, the stats weren't good. 8 people saved. Okay? At least in verses 40 to 41. So we know that when Jesus comes back, it's going to be like the days of Noah. It says this: 2 men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other left. 2 women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. That looks like a 50-50 to me. Better stats. Kind of makes it feel a bit better. But the third point here I want to point out is when Jesus comes back, there will be a separation. There will be a separation. One will be taken and one will be left. One will be saved. One will go to eternal damnation. That's the black and whiteness of what Jesus is telling us. So on that day, everything will be laid bare. Those who are in Christ Jesus will be saved. Jesus coming back for us. Wow! Absolutely amazing. Are you in the boat? Are you in the boat? Because those who will be saved will be those who are preparing now for that day. Who are looking for Jesus now, who are living their life for Jesus now, will be saved on that day. And when you look at Noah's life, that's why Noah was saved. Why was Noah saved? He was listening to God. He was acting on what God was saying to him. He was trusting in God. He knew that this day was coming, and he was preparing. Wow. And when that flood came, he was saved. Him and his family were saved from the catastrophe. And that's why Jesus, I think, says in verse 42, there's going to be a separation. Therefore, keep watch. Stay awake, is another translation. Are you awake this morning? Are you preparing for this day? Because if we are, our lives will be in Christ, living for his appearing. That is the most important thing. That should be one of the most, should be the most important thing in our lives, shouldn't it? As Christians, if he's asking what's the most important thing, he's saying, Jesus coming back. I live my life for him. It doesn't matter, this world's going to pass away. It's all about the eternal life that I have in Christ. So this morning, I just want to kind of put it out there. Are you in the boat this morning? Because the day is coming when this time it's not going to be water. The Bible says it's going to be fire. This planet, this earth will be burnt up, and the new heavens and the new earth will come. Are you in the boat this morning? And the boat is this: Christ Jesus died for me, paid the price for my sin, came for sinners to reconcile them back to God, took my punishment on the cross, so that when that day comes, I take his righteousness and I stand before God and say, that was absolutely awesome what you did for me, Jesus. Absolutely amazing that you saved me. And when you came into my life showed that transformation. My life was prepared for this day, waiting for you, Jesus, to come back for me and take me, to save me. Are you in Christ this morning? Wow. Are you in? Because Christ Jesus is that ark, he's the boat. And if you're in him, when that day comes, you will be saved. Are you in Christ this morning? Are you trusting in what he's done for you? Trusting in the cross. Recognizing the evil that is going on around us in this world. The reason we're to watch, fourth point, and this is what I'm finishing on. You know, I'm not a date setter, I'm not a time setter. Jesus says, don't do it. No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels nor the Son, but only the Father. He also says in verse 42, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. We know the signs, but nobody knows that exact moment when it's going to happen. The Son, verse 44, the Son will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So when it says that, it says, if the owner of the house, verse 43, had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. He would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. This is meant to keep us on our toes, church. It's for our sanctification. It's keeping us ready. We should be ready now. If he's coming, if I lift the bonnet this morning and you're not ready and I shut it, that's why I've lifted the bonnet this morning. I've gone, are you ready, church? Because Jesus wants us to be ready. Because if we knew what time the thief would be coming, what would we do? We'd bat him over the head when he come in the house. We would be ready, waiting and watching for him. And to finish, that's why Jesus uses this parable of the thief. It will be like a thief. If you're not on your toes, it'll come, you'll be robbed, and you'll go, what happened? It will be sudden, over, too late. When this event comes, it will be too late. There'll be no grabbing your clothes and your stuff, get your fire from the house and take them with you. It'll be too late. Now is the time to prepare. It'll be a time when you don't expect it. Putting your feet up, thinking everything's going okay and this world is lovely and everyone's lovely in it. No, it's not. It'll be a time we don't expect it. You know, fitting the alarm system after the event is too late. Too late to prepare for the event, for that event. You know, after you've been robbed, it's too late. Verse 43, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief were coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. As we leave this morning, what are you going to do about this reality this morning of Jesus' second coming? The owner of the house did something about it. If he knew it was coming, he would have done something about it. He could make sure that he's secure. My encouragement for you this morning, I believe from the text, what Jesus is telling us here, don't be put off this morning. Prepare now for the greatest event that is going to be coming. Are you ready to meet your Lord? May God bless his word this morning.